Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I was going to open with a headline that I think is fairly scary. I mean, just for me. And I tend to get scared more than most. But Boo. Here's a headline in the Washington Post. Missile launch appears to put D.C. in range.
Wait a minute.
I mean, is that Northwest D.C.? You know, inside the line?
What's that, 2015?
Yeah, I mean, how
Chevy
close?
Chase?
Chatter's okay.
Corner of Jennifer Street, Wisconsin Avenue.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And from the aforementioned corner of Jennifer Street and Wisconsin Avenue Northwest, in the capital of the United States of America, on a day when, if you are driving in downtown D.C., at about 3 o'clock on, yes. It's a disaster because it's the tree lighting day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it is an unbelievable nightmare in terms of driving.
Can we say, unbelievable speaking nightmare. Of that, can we say Merry we're Christmas cheddar. Again?
Yes, we're allowed to say Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's official. Trump was in Missouri yesterday. He was surrounded by Christmas trees and Christmas lights.
Fine.
And he said, I told you we'd be saying Merry Christmas
Thank
again.
Thank God.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Gotta give him that.
Did we stop saying Merry Christmas?
No, you weren't allowed to say it.
Hey, Tony. Merry Christmas.
Okay,
you know
that's
what I'm
good.
How
that's
will
good.
You get home from PTI? Will you just
I'll go north on Connecticut Avenue,
helicopter.
But it'll be slow.
Yes.
It'll be slow. It will be slow. We're at Chatter. We are open for breakfast beginning at 7 in the morning. We have a few hearty souls here, and they have received gifts. See, this is the other thing. If you come in here to the largesse of my being,
yes.
I give out gifts.
Yes, right? You do.
People get gifts. They not only
clarify,
get breakfast.
Gift, so what was today's gifts?
Golf balls.
Wow.
Oh, golf balls went
that's
out
a good
today.
Day.
And Guy's potato chips from Kansas
wow,
City
real
went out today.
Today.
Real these. This is what I
do.
Use
some golf balls.
This is what I do, and I'll tell you how I got the golf balls. Okay, because this is we don't have a real crowded show today.
Everyone, look under your chairs. There's
your
a
Thursday
bag of chips.
Show. Turn over your plate. If there's a gold star underneath.
Here we go.
Take home the centerpiece.
Here's a letter I'm reading. Dear Mr. Tony, as every loyal little knows, you remember what you said. We also remember what you said before the Monday night game on November 6th. Between the Lions and Packers at Lambeau, you told Susie Kalber, quote, send us a box of free rounds at Whistling Straits. You ask, we deliver.
Oh, my God.
Details below for how to secure your complimentary golf rounds the next time your travels take you back to the Dairy State. Please know this offer is open to the entire Tony Kornheiser Show
no
team
way.
To play Whistling Straits. Host of the 2020 Ryder Cup, I may add. This goes for SG3. Michael, D.A., Liz, Jeannie, Tori, Wilbon, Howard, Nigel, what? And yes, even Solicitor.
Yes. Oh, too bad. That was almost
please the best for last.
Please break it to Chris that Straits is a walking course, but we have provided the requisite box of Advil.
There you go. Look at
he
that.
He requires.
I do need
oh,
that.
Cute.
He's
in
not ready for that
with
golf course.
Chatter's University of Maryland roots, we have included some Kohler chocolate terrapins along with Whistling Straits golf balls to share with the breakfast crowd, which I have done. Happy holidays and La Cheeserie from the Cheeseheads. This is sent by John Engberg, who's the director of media and analytics at the Kohler Company,
God
who
bless
is a
him.
Little
great.
Who's been great.
I'm gonna take a
and
picture
also
of that.
Says
proof.
Contact Leslie Stachowiak, who was great to us when Michael and I and Alan and Nathan went out there on that golf trip. I mean,
take
these are great
that
people.
That is phenomenal.
So
thank
I've
you,
got
John.
That.
That's
so that's
awesome.
Really good. And that's for us, and not just me, because I'm a sharing.
You are.
Yes.
People
sharing.
Say that about you.
Very,
caring person.
A lot of room under that umbrella.
That's what I like. There were a couple of things that I wanted to talk about, and they are very, very minor things, but they are television things. And the television obviously unites us as a culture more than anything. Well, maybe the internet does now, but it doesn't unite me because I'm a non-internet person.
Divides us as much as it unites
so
us.
So I'm not that. Anyway, and by the way, I cannot recommend Kohler any more highly. It's right, Michael?
It's a great, great experience.
Talk
it's
to me
great.
About Kohler chocolates. What's
you know?
Yeah, they Kohler, do golf and chocolates,
and
they do toilet seats and sinks and the toilet. That,
that
stuff's
I know.
Great.
I know.
They
the
make
stuff
chocolates. They make famous Kohler terrapins.
Wow.
They make it. So
that interests me.
So we're going to give some of those out too, and some of us are going to keep them. So there are these two things on television that one just struck me as odd, and that is this is that. Commercial for what Captain Morgan rum. I'm not a rum person.
Yeah, that's right.
Rum I don't yeah. care about, and I certainly don't care about Captain Morgan, though a lot of people like do you drink rum?
Yeah, I'll drink rum in the summertime, and I'll throw Captain Morgan's with a splash of Coke in there for color.
Are all rums basically the same, or are some rums far better?
That?
Is Bacardi?
No, well, you can have aged rums just like you can have
Scotch,
you know, whiskey. Yeah.
What's that rum that tastes like? Oh, Malibu. That's my jam.
Oh my God! Of course, that's yours.
You really just said that. Yep.
Do you drink? It's in a white bottle.
Michael, do you
tastes
drink
like
rum?
Suntan lotion.
I don't drink rum.
I don't drink a lot of rum, but you. I wouldn't drink spiced rum that often, but you have it in certain summer cocktails.
Yeah, like a Malibu
or
rum.
Or even fall.
Gary and I drink Malibu rum all the time.
I would like to make a recommendation.
Please don't email making fun of Chris for saying Malibu.
A special
it's already easy. Been done.
Too
it's
easy.
Built in.
It's called Watling's Rum, John Watling's Rum, and it's only able to be purchased in Nassau in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And it's the best rum in the world.
Okay, well, I'm not, you know.
You're not going to Nassau.
No, I'm not going to Nassau, and I don't care about rum.
Just keep your publicizing yourself.
And by the way, the Bahamas, the Bahamas, a tiger. Tigers, what time does Tiger tee off?
Just after 12. How did you go from rum to Tiger?
Because he's in the Bahamas.
Yeah, he's in the Bahamas.
Where he is.
Made a left turn at Sugar Cane.
Do you know where Tiger's ranking is in the world ranking?
Number one?
1,189. He is playing today with Justin Thomas, ranked 3. And I think we're not rooting for Justin Thomas to do badly. In fact, if Tiger did as well as Justin Thomas, he'd probably be right at the top of the board. So
I'm going to see if I can find a number.
Did you see him hit, Michael? Did you see him hit at the Pro-Am yesterday?
When he drove the par 4 and made the eagle putt.
Oh.
Boom! I did see that.
You drove a par 4 yesterday, missed an eagle putt, but
I
got
did,
a birdie.
But
putt.
I secured the 4-footer for birdie.
Yeah, you did that.
I'm going to try to find a number on his like an over under, a bettable number on Tiger's round today. What would you guess?
Par.
What's par? 72. 71?
I would guess it would be par is the number.
What about you, Michael?
I think
what
the
would you guess
it's going to be 70.
You think it's
will
too under?
Number?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a resort course.
Yeah. I don't think it's the hardest course in the world. So anyway, should I get back to what I was saying?
Yeah,
about the rum commercial, about the cap. And they all go, Captain, 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 Captain.
Oh, yeah.
And a guy comes in and he says, Dave.
Right.
And they go, Captain Dave. And they go, okay. So I am imagining, a large room, a large assembly of doctors, medical doctors and PhDs and all of that. And they go, doctor, 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 doctor. And I go, Tony. And they go, Dr. Tony.
Yeah.
And that would make me very happy. Now, I don't know what that's a commercial for, because I don't think there's any rum called doctor.
Probably,
you know?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Maybe an HMO of some sort.
So the other thing to me, the other commercial thing to me was, I think we would all agree that the campaign for Dos Equis beer, when they had that guy who was the most interesting guy in the world.
Right.
Those were good.
That guy met Nigel. Lucky guy.
You met that, the original guy, the most
the
interesting
most
guy
man in the world?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I was at a party with Liz, but we both met him up. The bloke from Under Armour, he throws that pre-Preakness party.
Plank.
Kevin Plank.
Yeah, and he was a lovely gentleman.
Yeah. Well, by the way, sneaky short.
Yes, very
sneaky short.
Short,
like 5'7", 5'8", something like that. I met him once.
Yeah, stay thirsty, nice guy, my friends.
Well, and so he was. So they have stay thirsty, my friends. And then I guess he doesn't want to do it, or they think he's too old, or
they thought he was
work.
Too old, and they got rid of him in this new.
Okay,
bloke.
So now they bring in a guy who looks like Michael Phelps. Right, the guy looks like Michael Phelps.
Yes,
and there's nothing.
Another person Nigel has met.
That's right. And there's nothing interesting at all about Michael Phelps other than the fact that he's a great swimmer, but he's not interesting on any level. So this guy, they don't even have him say anything except they change the tagline to stay thirsty, mis amigos. Mm. And that doesn't work.
Not as good.
It doesn't work.
What does that mean in Spanish?
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Ah. Right, that's what it means. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work. So now they've already bailed out on this guy. They've bailed out on this guy, and they've got a comedian in there. Is his name Rob Riggle?
Yes.
Rob Riggle. Yeah,
okay, so now the entire commercial
in the face
is what is that?
That's from Hangover.
Hangover.
Oh, okay. He's one of the cops.
Test the taser on them.
He tases Zach Galifianakis.
So anyway, so this guy Rob Riggle is now the star of it, and he's presenting himself as which seems to me such a limited thing. The most interesting college football fan in the world. I mean, that season is going to end in a matter of weeks.
Yeah,
yeah.
And so now the large guy is now a sculptor.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phelps is now sculpting pictures of Rob Riggle. And Rob Riggle is let's be fair, he's a guy.
Not you,
he's
fat Jesus.
He's just a guy.
Not you, fat Jesus.
So what do you think of that?
I like Rob Riggle.
But now it's.
I think you. Where are they going? You follow branding campaigns more closely than other people.
Too much.
I think most people are like, "Hey, they got a new guy doing the Dos Equis ads. It's the guy from Hangover."
A little bit
like,
lazy, but it doesn't
work.
Argue.
That's my point. It doesn't work. You know, and they know it doesn't work. And that's why they brought in another guy. When Rob Riggle can't save it anymore, they'll bring in another guy to try to save
it. I just want the...
Because Phelps, by himself,
he can't carry
it. He doesn't do it.
I want all ads to just be that State Farm commercial where the guy's calling.
With Aaron Rodgers?
No, the State Farm commercial where he's like,
oh, that's because
what are you wearing?
She's a guy.
Pants. Yeah, that commercial is the best commercial.
Yeah,
they should
guy.
Just State Farm. Just keep running it.
She doesn't sound like a
but
a
the,
woman.
The
right.
best,
she
most,
sounds hideous.
The most memorable and impactful campaigns for us always owe a portion of that, a good portion of that, to the originality of them.
And
so,
the humor.
So this thing they're doing has no originality because it's been done.
Yep.
So it's just.
So I assume that the person who created Phelps, I assume he got fired. Because
well, the agency,
it doesn't,
yeah.
It doesn't
well, you
work.
Remember the original most interesting man. In the world, I mean, do you remember how that deal fell apart? He was like the husband of one of the women at the agency who came up with the idea, and he was like, "Yeah, I did some acting. Sure, I'll give it a try." So he just did it for like $300 a
so
pop.
So he wrote a book about then, it,
right?
By the way, one time I know this for a fact that he met 44, and 44 was completely charmed by him, completely because we all watched him,
right?
We all
lovely,
watched
he's
him.
He's a lovely.
He's
fella.
A guy from the Bronx, the, right?
Yeah, something like that. And the way they wrote him out of the script, so to speak, was they put him on a rocket. And they like he was
right.
going,
oh, going to Mars.
Mars.
Oh, like a North,
Mars
North Korean rocket.
Poochie died in an accident on the way back to his home planet.
So wait, you don't have to write a guy out of a commercial. You just say we're doing something
that's,
else.
They felt like they needed.
It was
to.
Contentious
because
he basically said, "I want now like $400 million a commercial." They basically said goodbye. Also, we're sending you to Mars. Okay.
I also think one thing different between you and the average millennial, for example, is you watch watch commercials.
Yes.
I don't think they watch. They either DVR stuff or they watch it. On their phone.
But so like, I admire good commercials.
Yeah.
I admire them. I remember once writing a column many years ago.
Had to have been if it was a column.
Many, many years ago. On the
many
introduction.
Moons ago.
The introduction of the Infiniti car brand.
Oh, sure.
And what I remember about it most was that you didn't even know. You
what
didn't
it was.
Know, no, you had no idea. There was a bunch of pictures. Like, there were trees.
It was all
and then
lifestyle.
There was a pond.
Yeah, there was,
I remember
there was
the
somebody,
column.
You know, somebody walking around. And then it said
the last
Infiniti,
2 seconds.
And they didn't even show you a car.
That's what
I didn't know what it was.
That's all they do now. They're
what do you mean?
Like, all commercials are selling. Like, it's unclear in most commercials what's being sold. They're selling
it's
like
not
a.
Unclear
they're selling
in
a,
the salad spinner.
Well,
you know what you get in the salad
they're
spinner.
They're selling a lifestyle, the salad spinner notwithstanding. That's a lifestyle choice.
I'm
going
to print off a copy of the rhetorical triangle for you to keep by your clicker.
What is the rhetorical triangle?
Logos, pathos, ethos. You know, you're trying to appeal.
Like
trying
the
to appeal to certain
that's
emotions.
That's
so
that's
with all these lifestyle commercials, they want you to feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Now, those car ones where you're out in the woods, I don't really get what that lifestyle is.
Yeah. But Infiniti didn't even have a car.
Right.
You didn't
it's
know
the
what
you didn't know
what they
was.
Were selling. Now, that made me eager to find out what they were selling. But it's always disappointing when you find out they're selling something.
Reveal never lives up.
Yeah. But I mean, you don't think commercials are great? That they're not-
well, the one that I can't get enough of, and they've had a couple different variations of it, is the phone that's trapped in the patient's body, and like the hospital exec.
Is
the
that
doctor.
A Snickers commercial?
I don't know. I don't even know what it's. I guess it is a Snickers, but he's like, "Yeah, we're gonna make this better," and then activate Siri, and she's like, "Oh, how to make butter?" You know, and it's just from his stomach.
So
it's great.
So moving backwards, as the show frequently does, can I hit you with some Tiger props on the Hero Challenge?
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're interesting. So Tiger Woods. 18 hole score during the first round of the Hero Challenge. Now that so the number is interesting, but the way they've navigated it with what you have to lay and what you get back, the number's 72.5. But if you lay 100 and you go over, you get back 114. To win a hunt, so under 72.5 is -140. You have to lay 140 to win 100. How many bogeys or worse will Tiger record in his first round?
I'd go four.
Okay.
I go four.
Well, the over-under is 3.5.
Okay.
Over, though, you got to lay 164 to win 100.
Okay.
So they're tricky bets. They're not sort of evenish bets. And there's all sorts of the lowest 18
holes. Are they betting
holes,
what color shirt he'll put on?
How about this? The lowest 18-hole score during any round.
By Tiger?
For this tournament. Yeah.
I'm going to go 67.
69.5 is the number, but under you lay 123.
We'll go under that.
How about under this? 69. This is interesting. How about the highest score on any hole?
Like a number?
Yes.
I'll go 6.
This to me looks like easy money. Under 6.5 is plus 102.
Yeah.
I would bet on him not making a 7.
Yes, I would too, wouldn't
right?
you?
Although it's tough out there one. Because the par fives have they're all gettable, so he could knock it into the weeds and has to take an unplayable.
Back it out.
Though the benefit for him is you can also play from a lot of that sort of sandy scruff.
Ben, area. What's his score going to be on number one? Will he hit the fairway on his first round tee shot on number
These
one?
These people are degen gamblers.
I mean, can you imagine?
I mean, like, why are we
this
gambling
This is middle
on that?
Of the day East Coast
can you
time. Who's
just
watching
sitting
this?
There at noon for that tee shot, that opening tee shot? Will he finish last? You can bet on that. If you think it's no,
it's
you got to lay 63
though, right?
to win 100.
18 people. He finished. He didn't even last year when he couldn't play at all. He finished next to last, so he's not going to finish last.
Fascinating.
Because they're going to allow somebody like me or Wilbon in the field.
Will he withdraw? Right. Last. Will he withdraw in the Hero Challenge?
I would
That's
say no.
Bet.
Is there a will he have to What did he do? Displace his arm?
No, well, he couldn't activate his glutes.
No, you're thinking about when he had to pop his like finger back in place
when he was. Dr. Tiger. All right, we will take a break. We'll come back with more of us because I said it was a slow day. I don't really have anything today. I'm vamping
Way
here.
Way to sell it.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Actually, basically, I'm waiting for the leaf blower today. This is the SeatGeek app. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy, and that is with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Consequently, make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast can get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase, as Chris Saliza has done. Just download the SeatGeek app, SeatGeek, enter the promo code Tony today, that is promo code Tony, for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes to us from Pat DiPuccio, a Los Angeles local who says he champions Cleveland teams because he was born there and they needed all the love they could get for years. And he writes, I love your podcast. I've heard Tony broadcasting for years. I have a band called The Condors, www.thecondors.com. Condor. And we've released a new CD called Joie de Vivre. Here's a song called, or for those people who don't want to do the accent, Joy de Vivre, but I would say it's Joie de Vivre. Here's a song called Matter of Fact. Hope you guys enjoy it, and we do enjoy it.
Yes, it's a great
song.
And
at the end of this high-quality podcast, you can hear it in full. So we're back to us here. We have no guest. And it's not like we didn't try to get a guest. We'll have Chuck Todd later in the show, but we have no guest. Chuck Todd. There were a couple of things.
What did
Obviously,
Chuck finish last week, by the way? Was he
4-3-1?
4-3-1. Okay.
Chuck is up to 44-1. He can see 500 from the top of his house.
Big week for him.
He can see it. He can't see the Atlantic Ocean.
In Russia.
He can see 500. So I don't know if this happens. I'm talking to a lot of people who live in different places than I live, obviously. And I don't know if this happens to you. I don't know if in the neighborhood in which you live, there are these, what I would call very annoying drop-offs on your porch or in front of your house.
Yes.
This is the third one I've gotten in the last 10 days. There's a bag, a large paper bag. In this case, it was Whole Foods, which really annoyed me because I don't go to Whole Foods because I think it's
pretentious. They come to you, apparently.
No. And so it's a Whole Foods bag where they printed they always have a printed sheet on the front. And the printed sheet is always for a donation to a food drive. I am not opposed to donating food to food drives. I do this on a regular basis. I just felt that the third one in 10 days got to be a little much for me. You know, I just thought, well, you know, one is fine, two in a season, three in 10 days.
I mean, how much charity do they want from you?
Seemed like a lot. And I don't, you know.
I got to feed the whole world?
See, I know I'm opening myself up for that, but I think I'm trying to talk about a common feeling. It doesn't mean I'm not going to give them food. Because I'm going to give them food.
Of course.
But 3 in 10 days. Now, this is thank you for your contribution to the, and it's the Greg Gannon canned food drive. Your donations will be picked up on Saturday, December 2nd, 2017. That is 2 days from now, right? That is 2 days from now.
Yes.
And it says, please leave your filled bag visibly outside your front door by 9 a.m. It's like they're
dictating terms.
Yeah. You know, the assumption is, in my case, I'm gonna
see the dog alive again.
Exactly. You know, like your house?
It tells you what you can, and they have
we know where you live.
Suggested donations, canned fruits and vegetables, pasta, canned meat, tuna and chicken, peanut butter and jelly, soups, chili, cereal, rice and beans, spaghetti sauce. I used to always, for reasons unknown to me, I would go through the cabinet in the pantry in my house, and there would always be cans of things that I could not stand, like Yankee bean soup. I mean, I don't know who bought the Yankee bean soup, but I can't stand it. So over the course of a year, there'd be 2 or 3 of these. I'd put them in. I'd put in
maybe some old bay leaves.
I'd put in chicken stock. I'd put in, you know.
Yeah, stuff you don't want.
I understand. But, okay, I'm opened myself up to terrible criticism about being a one percenter, although my, I think I'm all right charitably. I think I'm pretty good at this. But 3 in 10 days.
I think a couple of things. I think you live in a very nice neighborhood and nice part of the city,
which makes
a good target with a lot of generous people who do a lot of giving. I think it's not as personal as it reads. I think they just have to write it as if they assume someone is willing to give and at least going to read it versus just throw it in the garbage.
Well, if they don't want to leave food, feel free to make a monetary contribution.
Right.
Yeah. I'm okay with all of that. It's the act of dropping this.
Like you,
so you have
to
no issue with, for instance, like Purple Heart. I get all the time in my house in the mail something that says we're going to be in your neighborhood. If you want to set out a thing, set out in front of your house.
And for example, there are certain charities that I've discussed this before. There are certain charities, and I don't give tremendous amounts, but I, for example, give to Guiding Eyes for the Blind. Even though there's nobody blind in my family, I like dogs. I just feel that that's, you know, not...
It's a good
I don't
cause.
Think that's in the top five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not like cancer research and stuff like that, leukemia, cancer research, whatever. You know, Alzheimer's. I think a lot of people give to that. And so I started to give to Guiding Eyes for the Blind. And they send 3 or 4 times a year, you know, but they send it to the house. I guess I'm getting at they drop it off, and the assumption is
inside or outside the fence that they drop
inside,
it off.
It's inside.
I think the assumption is something that you feel, and I'm sorry that you're getting that experience, but I would ask you to consider the yield, their expected yield. So how many houses do they have to canvas to say get 100 cans of soup to make this meaningful or worthwhile campaign? So you're feeling that because you've had 3 in 10 days.
Yeah.
What about the corner house that has not had that exposure or has never given in the past, and they see this reminder year after year, and they say, well, this is the year I can actually donate or help
out.
And
let me make one other suggestion, and I may be wrong. I'm just guessing. But something like Purple Heart or Guiding Eyes who mail it, there's a cost associated with those direct mailers. Maybe this is more volunteer-driven.
I'm sure it is.
So it's a lot cheaper
and
to just walk around.
By the way, I'm not suggesting this is anything but a wonderful, wonderful charity.
Right.
I'm just saying 3 in 10 days, and you walk out of your house, and you take one step out your door, and there's a bag there.
Well, is there a fill line in the bag? You must reach
level.
No, I
certain products that are off.
Does this come to you?
No, I don't.
You don't get these?
No. When you came in, you said you get these. That's true. I mean, the armed guards tend to dissuade.
No.
When you said you get things on your doorstep or your driveway, when I came in,
not on driveway. I don't have a driveway.
I was thinking yes, because yesterday we got the annual phone book, the old school phone book, laying on our driveway that we get, that I immediately took and put in the trash can.
Yeah, that's an environment killer.
We don't get... I put in the recycling.
No, I meant the book. I meant printing the book.
Yeah, because I'm very environmentally conscious.
Of course.
So. We don't get that sort of stuff. We get a lot of things from the neighbors, like, hey, we're having a block party, or like around Halloween, like, you've been ghosted, and it's like a little ghost, and you have to like put it on other people's.
Yeah,
you got to put it on other people. I don't.
Oh, they wouldn't do that with
my
me.
Wife. Handles.
Yeah, I'm too old.
I'm always like, I take the ghost, throw it in the trash. Yeah. But we get stuff like that. We don't get the donations.
You get these,
also,
Karen?
I'm notoriously non-charitable.
No, we live
you live
at the end of a cul-de-sac with a 100-yard-long driveway, so it's like you got to be lost to come to
my
house.
Get this in your new house?
No, no, and I think for us it might be because we have a very transient neighborhood with a lot of young families, so we're probably too young for the kids from elementary school who are initiating those campaigns, and we're probably not established enough to have those outside groups recognize this is a very established neighborhood. They are able to give.
Nigel, you get these?
I don't get those types of things, but I do get a lot of stuff.
He's actually the recipient of most of that food, I believe.
Because I could just bring you a can of Yankee bean soup.
He loves that soup.
I love Yankee bean soup. Yeah,
no, I mean, they tell you what to give.
Pantry.
They tell you what to give, and I mean, I understand it, and I'm happy to. Yeah. I'm happy to do
That's
it.
A good
I
just, cause.
I think you. I think Michael is right. You assume an expectation that is not necessarily there. Like, I mean, I think they're doing it because they have to hit some basic. They have to put 10,000 of those down to get a minimum out, which does not require you to do it.
But I will say this.
I mean, if you're a good person,
I am a kindred spirit with you in this. This time of year, in particular. There is a point at which I start to feel I can be made to start to feel put upon.
Right.
Say, you know, aren't I like doing enough? You know, can I just like get? I don't want the pressure. I don't want to be man. This is a me issue. It's not a them issue. But like, I don't want to be reminded of everyone I'm not giving to. What are you gonna say?
I saw the Salvation Army guy outside the Safeway near my kid's bus stop. He said, I thought that was kind of on the early end. Do they start like
after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I guess when people start putting
up lights. Before that.
I'm just unaware. I heard the bell ring. I was
at the social Safeway. It's been up for about 3 weeks now. The bell's ringing.
Yeah, I haven't seen
the
that.
Bells,
okay,
the
we
ringing.
Should.
Yes.
I think we need to talk about a couple. I guess we have to talk a little bit about Matt Lauer and the irony, I guess, of Matt Lauer's conversation with Bill O'Reilly, which they play, in which he says to Bill O'Reilly, when Bill O'Reilly went out on the same sort of thing, he says, well, don't you think your company had to have something completely wired to get rid of the number one guy? And this is exactly what happened to Matt Lauer, who the Today Show this morning led off with a Matt Lauer statement, saying, I'm sorry for all of these things. I'm going to work on this for the rest of my life. And then not saying I didn't do it. You know, he may have contested a couple of things, but overall he conceded that he had done this. And I guess one of the stories in the Post today resuscitated the Ann Curry stuff where Lauer felt blamed. If you look at ratings, the ratings before Ann Curry and the ratings after Ann Curry are sufficiently higher than the ratings with Ann Curry. From a purely marketing standpoint, if you're running the network, you can justify making that switch. But I find it interesting, and this is not an original thought, that a lot of these entertainment figures are fired, and the politicians who are accused, it sort of feels, not that all of them should have to leave their jobs, but it sort of feels that they are protected. That the group around them of elected officials protects one another, even though they always talk about transparency and doing good for the country. You know, I mean, it's the same old talk one side and act another side. And I'm sure you're asked about this all the time at CNN. Yeah. What is your feeling?
So it is very interesting because you're exactly right. The reaction in politics, whether it's Al Franken, John Conyers, Roy Moore, Bill Clinton, Donald Trump, you know, they've survived these things. Roy Moore, I guess, is in process, but
he has survived longer.
But everybody thinks he's
going to
win.
I think he might win.
I mean, if someone in entertainment would have dropped out of that race,
right? I mean, they've survived in ways that Lauer, Weinstein, Spacey, a bunch of reporters have not. I think it's – so I made a bunch of calls on this yesterday because I was interested in it and I talked to people. And their point was, broadly speaking, one is in corporate America and the Today Show counts as that. You know, in a place where it's a business, a money-making venture, you have shareholders and the consumer to sort of worry about, and there are direct effects there, which is, you know – you keep someone like this around, people don't go to the movie. They don't, you know,
Well, they wrote Spacey out of the movie.
Right.
People won't vote for you.
Politicians are they're kind of like self-employed in a way. They answer to themselves and to voters, and they can always say, well, we'll let the voters decide. And that only happens typically every 2 years. So it gives them an out. I also
because there's no stockholders.
Right. I mean, and I think if they've looked, unfortunately, I think the lesson that has been learned from, I mean, this is not new, Elliot Spitzer, and I mean, there's so many of these circumstances we've had in the last decade or so. And Spitzer, I think if you asked him candidly, should you have resigned? I bet he regrets resigning every day because he thinks he probably could have just weathered it. Just stay in office. It's hard to get rid of members of Congress not in a normally scheduled election. I thought that Jim Clyburn, who's the third ranking Democrat in Congress, a former colleague of mine named Ed O'Keefe at The Post asked him on Capitol Hill yesterday.
Did you see this?
No.
Oh, I mean, so he said, if Weinstein and Lauer and Spacey are all sort of held to account very quickly for their behaviors
and
for these accusations,
sort of have gotten out of the way more quickly than you people.
John Conyers?
Oh, no, I did see that. It said, who elected him?
And they say in passing, like as a joke, who
elected him? Very indignantly says, well, you'd have to give me some examples. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Richmond, right? And then Clyburn says, who elected them? That entitlement mentality is pervasive on Capitol Hill. It is like its own little culture and society up there. These people are, and by these people I mean members of Congress, are venerated by their staff. They are treated as celebrities, as kings of their own little fiefdoms. And I think as a result, they surround themselves with people who are like, you're doing great, boss. You know, I mean, and they are, again, they can always point to, we'll let the voters decide. It's the Roy Moore.
But
I'm not going to drop out. I'm not going to have people tell me to drop out. I will be judged by the voters.
But let me just say this as a voter. When you vote, when I vote for someone, I am voting for them to represent me, mm-hmm. and I am putting my trust in them to represent me in a certain fashion. So the public sort of gives you the trust and says, here, go represent us. It's not carte blanche to then just go do whatever you want to do under the guise of, well, and then next time, if they don't like the way I'm representing them, they can, you know, they can vote me out. So something is obviously broken there. And I understand the power dynamic, how they don't want to. I mean, what you're going to end up is brokering deals here where, like, a Franken is going to say, okay, well, I'll go if more goes, you know, and so that no one sort of gives up the power. But
well, in Franken this morning, yeah, CNN first reported another woman, 2003 USO tour, he groped her. He put out a statement again in this piece that says he takes thousands of pictures and does not remember these. I mean, like that's not an acceptable answer.
I take pictures here every day. You can see my
hands.
Yes,
I've seen it.
But Tony,
you can't explain away. You can't just say, oh, I don't really remember. I take lots of pictures.
Listen,
like, that's not the point.
Chris, when Franken was asked if there would be more, he said, if there would be more accusations, he was asked last week. He said something to the effect of, well, I don't know. That's difficult to say. Well, then, I mean, that's a non-denial.
Like, again, like if I said, Tony, like, have you groped women when you take pictures?
Yeah,
you say, no, absolutely not.
No,
you don't say, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, like,
it's just maddening.
It's a fun show today.
Sorry.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with Nigel and News.
That's right.
I get to the end of the segments, and I
cough.
Yeah,
you're getting older.
Got to stay hydrated.
It's harder to do a full 16 minutes.
Call the home.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Omaha Steaks ad. If you're struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who has it all, with the holidays fast approaching, you order gifts for everyone on your list with the click of a mouse. You can get the perfect gift and avoid the malls. And how do you do it? Let me tell you about how Omaha Steaks for $49.99 gives you a family gift pack. When you go to omahasteaks.com and you enter the code TonyK in the search bar, that's 75% off. Omaha Steaks is giving an exclusive savings that says in the copy just to my listeners. It's not true. But my listeners can get the exclusive savings. Listen to everything that you get for less than $50. Two filet mignons, two top sirloins, two boneless pork chops, four boneless chicken breasts, four kielbasa sausages, four burgers, four potatoes au gratin, four caramel apple tartlets, one packet of Omaha Steak seasoning, and you can get four additional kielbasa sausages for free. Gary and Chris, you have cooked these things.
Yeah. They're delicious.
They're
I'm getting this for Christmas.
They're
good. Self-Christmas present.
So go to omahasteaks.com, enter my code TonyK in the search bar, and get a 75% savings. It's the gift guaranteed to be a hit.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Stephen Robinson sends this in. He says, Mr. Tony, I'm a longtime listener dating back to the ESPN days. Yes, I too am old. In anticipation of Kip soon presenting some doomsday forecast of impending snowmageddon, attaches a little tropical country song called I Wish I Was There that I wrote a few years back with the singer Grammy-nominated Trey Hensley. This came from his first country release a few years ago titled Looking at My Future. His music, including several others we wrote together, is available on all the usual sites, including iTunes and CD Baby. How much does this sound like Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, a lot.
If Garcia had heard this.
Right, this musical.
Thanks for the many hours of fun and entertainment. I'll hang up and listen. And he says, I'm a nearly 20-year friend and work colleague of Stephanie, the fabulous daughter of your friend Steve Hintershire. So this is very, very, very lovely. By the way, in anticipation of tomorrow's winter weather forecast with Kip Schmiemann, Wilbon yesterday went crazy about it. Right, Michael? We're playing golf, so we played a few holes with Wilbon, about 7 or 8 holes, maybe
Wilbon
more.
Wilbon was having a playing lesson with the pro.
Right, and Wilbon was... Wilbon
just dropping balls everywhere.
Wilbon hit a great shot on 5. He did hit a great shot on 5. Maybe it was a second or third one. But he was screaming about how Kevin his forecast was completely wrong.
That's not the point.
That's complete. So he was angry at this.
You're missing the point.
Which I didn't understand at all. How can people send in their music?
It then turned into a rant about Washingtonians. I'm scared of the snow. Scared of the snow.
Yeah. He's got his bits.
You know, this is from a man who spends a quarter of the year in Phoenix, Arizona.
Right, where there is no snow.
So yes, if you have music, original music to send into the show, please email it to jingles@tonykornheiser.com.
And can we announce what we're selling?
And we have a big announcement. We have the holiday Tony Kornheiser Show code, a discount code for Johnny O.
Johnny O.
This code is near and dear to my heart. So it's open now and through December 24th, you can get 20% off of your entire purchase, which is almost almost a quarter of your purchase, using the promo code Bootsy.
Bootsy!
Oh, is that I-E?
B-O-O-T-S-I-E. Bootsy will get you what you want for the holidays.
I have been waiting for the code to come out to make a few purchases, so I'm very excited. Bootsy. Gary is wearing a very nice...
Sporting the Lammy, is that right?
Gary's wearing the Lammy, and what I found out is that the Lammy actually works out for the women in your lives as well, because it's a very traditional cut, but it's lightweight and it's got great colors.
Sydney Braun loves the Lammy. Yeah.
It's really nice.
By the way, before we begin the news proper, we got a box of stuff. Can we see what's in that box?
It's a box of hard cider.
We look.
Oh, yes.
It's a box of hard cider.
Oh, isn't that nice? It's delicious. I'm
going to drink some of that.
From Farmhouse, I think?
Farmhouse Hot. It's Farmhouse, right? Yeah.
Farmhouse.
Oh, well,
very excited about that.
Hard cider.
We start off with the NBA. There was an interesting matchup last night with the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers. Why do you say that's interesting,
Nigel? You don't want to start with Binghamton?
Oh, I did not see the Binghamton.
We beat Delaware State. We beat a D1 team.
Ooh,
we beat
them
85-64. We're plus 21 against a D1. Now a low-level D1 team like us.
Well,
we beat them. Yeah.
You're going to climb the rankings faster than Tiger Woods.
Yeah, I hope that. I hope that's true. I hope we get from about 335 to 315 or something like that.
The Warriors beat the Lakers in overtime, 127-123. It's interesting because... LeVar Ball had said earlier this year, that Steph Curry's not as good as Lonzo, which is utterly absurd. In this first matchup between the two of them, Curry ended up with 28 points, most of them in the overtime period.
13.
Yeah,
13
in the overtime. And how did Lonzo
do? 15.
He had 15 and 10 assists, so not a bad game.
No, he had a good game.
That's
a really good game for Lonzo Ball. Really good. And he took an elbow in the side of the head, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was bleeding as well.
He had a good game. He had a good game.
The Wizards.
This is the more important game.
The Wizards.
And not because I'm from Washington, D.C., but because of the strategy involved.
Yeah, this is the Wizards lose to the Sixers, the final score, 118 to 113. At some point, the Wizards decided to do the hack a Shaq.
Well, the fourth quarter, down 20 some.
They scored 48 points in the fourth quarter.
The Wizards.
The Wizards did. And by the way, made the fourth quarter go for probably an hour.
It went on forever.
They sent Ben Simmons, who is the best rookie in the league, they sent Ben Simmons to the line for 24 shots in the fourth quarter. Simmons made
NBA
half
record
of them.
Tone for free throws attempted in the quarter.
The Otto Porter Jr. gave the Wizards nothing after everybody credited him with winning the previous game. The bench got 66 points. I'm assuming in the fourth quarter you had all bench guys in there pretty much.
Bradley Beal was in until he fell out.
But what do you what do you think of it? This is a Wednesday night game in the first or second month of the season, and you're sending a guy to the line 24 shots?
So what do I think about it?
What do you think of that as a strategy by Scott Brooks? What is that? People are critical of Jason Garrett. What do you think of this?
They weren't going. I watched the first three quarters, and it was very clear that if they continued doing exactly what they were doing, they were going to lose by 25.
Well, so they were down, down 15 at the half.
If you care, if you think every game you have to win, that you know it's for seeding, I guess. It's not fun to watch. I mean, it's miserable to watch.
Yeah, well, no one's going to argue it's fun to watch, but you seem so indignant. I mean, it worked. What do you mean? What do I think of it?
Won.
They're trying to win the game. I mean, what's he supposed to do? Just say, they beat us through three quarters, so let's just lay down and go home?
Just because it's a Wednesday in November, you shouldn't try to give your team the best chance?
Entertainment. That is not entertaining. Nobody wants to watch that.
Well, what about the Cubs walking Bryce Harper all those times 2 years ago? I mean, is that cheating us out of...
It doesn't really delay the game because Ryan Zimmerman came up and hit into 15 plays at that point.
But you thought it had an actual impact
over the course of the season.
So maybe this has an actual impact on Ben Simmons, which would benefit the Wizards as well. I have no issue with it. I mean, I'm a Wizards fan, of course. It was terrible to watch.
Horrible to watch.
But hello, you played to win the game. And they were not going to win a game that was giving Philadelphia 20 seconds of possession.
Yeah,
Joel
Embiid
finished with 25 and 14, and Simmons finished with 31 and 18.
Yeah. 15 of 29 from the stretch.
And they're going to be, those two players, if they stay healthy, are going to be great players.
They're really fun to watch. Yes. I watched that game, about three quarters of it, for the Sixers, not for the Wizards.
For them.
And obviously OPJ.
Yeah, speaking of playing to win the game,
Herm Edwards apparently is going to be the next head coach for Arizona State, leaving ESPN. Who did he coach? Was
he Jets? He coached the Jets. He coached Kansas City.
That's right.
I don't know the Chiefs. Coached
that's
the Chiefs. He's been on TV for 7 or 8 years now at ESPN full time. He grew up in Northern California in the Monterey Peninsula area, so the West is attractive to him. The Pac-12 is going to be attractive. And did he go to Cal? Is he a Cal?
I'll check that.
I don't know. I don't know where he went to school. He played in the pros for a long time. Nice fella.
Very good guy. Had the opportunity to work with him a little bit.
Unlike John Gruden, who John Gruden has turned down a million jobs.
Yeah, there's a bunch of guys. Madden was like, no, I'm much happier in the booth than I am on the sideline.
San Diego State.
San Diego State.
But yeah, the Pac-12 is interesting now with Chip Kelly at UCLA.
10-year career after being undrafted in 1976.
Yeah, he played for the Eagles.
By the way, not worth probably getting into in full, but that Tennessee coaching search is really, they've really handled that nicely.
Well, on that. Let me just say one last thing about
Kim Jong-un has apparently turned this down.
Just one last thing on Herm Edwards. Last coach, 2008. At Kansas City, it will be interesting to see. I mean, a lot has changed in 10 years.
Well, plus going from the coach back at
college, he's a great salesman. He's great at that, and you know what he's done for the last few years, and it's very, very minor. But you keep your hand in just a little bit. He's coached one of those all-star games.
Oh, sure,
and one of college or pro all-star games. So he's kept his hand in, and those guys, they look at film.
He last coached at San Diego State University as a defensive backs coach, 1987 to 89. 30 years ago. Last coach in college.
Oh, in college. I don't know if it's transferable. I think it is, but I think football's football, but I don't really know.
You mentioned
Shiano or Spurrier.
The dear leader, Kim Jong-un, has reportedly turned down the job as head coach of Tennessee. Yeah. This, of course, coming from Lane Kiffin continues to troll Tennessee, which seems
unreal.
He's the one that said, I'm leaving you for USC, and yet continues to
That came from Lane Kiffin?
Yes.
Get out of
his
here.
His real verified account. Yes.
That's not the
Lane
only one.
Lane Kiffin tweeted out a picture of Kim Jong-un?
Yes.
Yes. And when Mike Gundy from Oklahoma State, who, by the way, is not happy in Oklahoma State, apparently, was like, I really don't want to go to Tennessee, Lane Kiffin tweeted out, the mullet stays put, LOL. Canada haircut now, hashtag business in the front, hashtag party in the back. So he's doing nothing but trolling Tennessee.
Now, Lane Kiffin is a giant troll on Twitter.
Why would you do that?
You would obviously do that because you're head coaching somewhere else and you have no work to do.
At Florida Atlantic.
Now, when asked
who? See what I did there? Who?
When
oh, very good.
Well played.
Owl Nation.
When asked whether, you know, he was about the possibility of getting hired back at Tennessee, because apparently that has started to bubble up from the fan base, and we know just how much power the fan base has after what happened to Greg Schiano. And he says, no, well, he has not talked to the school's AD. I've not thought about it at all because John Curry never expressed any interest. That's not exactly a denial that he would like to coach there.
I'm sure he would coach there in a heartbeat.
Sure, we'll get,
sure
I mean,
it's
and
a
he's
much
done
better
well.
Job.
He did, took FAU to a 9-3 record, right?
Yeah, he's a good coach, but he's unstable.
Yes.
I mean, he leaves
his,
everywhere.
His Twitter feed is
that right?
Trumpian.
Wow.
In its wow. level of trolling.
All right, let's get out of here. We will come back with old guys so we can have Chuck Todd. What, did you have something else?
Well, I just had one fun story I wanted
okay,
to tell you.
Sure.
This is from Anchorage, Alaska. Mm-hmm. A police have arrested a woman age 38 after she was caught on a security camera from stealing several items from this woman's house and just walking into a cab. And you say, well, okay, what's fun about that? The main item that she stole was a giant zebra head. And there's video of her walking out of this apartment into a cab. You can see the cab. She's just carrying this giant zebra head. The woman who owned it, it's called Stacey Scott. She's like, yeah, I was given this zebra head as a gift from this boutique I worked at. I named it George. I was just about to decorate it for Christmas. And, you know, somebody just brazenly walks
nice.
In the middle of the day and steals my George zebra head.
Well, they got her, right? They got her.
They got her, but George the zebra head still remains at large.
No,
we're not sure
large.
What's happened to him. Yeah. So
that's odd.
Yes,
how could they have surveillance and George would?
There's like it's like one of those security cams right on the door. It must be motion activated.
Okay.
So you can you
zebra
can
head underrated Michael Rapaport movie.
Oh yes, there you go.
I've never heard of
said
it.
Said no one ever.
Yes. Yes. We'll take a break. We come back with old guy and Chuck Todd.
That's
I'm
right.
Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Old Guy Radio for the day as people bring in big boxes of stuff for us.
Love it.
This is Lee Michaels. In terms of critical commentary, you're going to ask, why do you play this song? I like it. Nigel likes it.
It's a great song.
Yeah, Nigel just had a tremendous meltdown when the computer didn't work. This is called Do You Know What I Mean? You got to be over the age of 45 probably to even know the song.
I don't know it.
You don't know it? It's a great tune.
It's from 1971, his album called Fifth. This was obviously his biggest hit.
No, this is his only hit.
Yeah.
Lee Michaels, this is it. Is he alive?
Lee Michaels is still alive, yes.
Good.
Yeah, in fact, just celebrated his birthday last Friday.
Good. How old is he?
70. He was born in 1945. What's the math on that, Gary?
72.
72.
72.
Yes.
There you go.
All right. Chuck Todd joins us now. Chuck had a good week last week. Chuck's right around 500 week after week after week.
Generous way of putting
it. More
it.
Often 3-4-1 or, you know, 3-4.
Yeah, let's be realistic.
4-3. 4-3, not
like
bad.
The Redskins would describe as 500, which means a little bit below.
40-44-1. 40-44-1, but you can see it. You can, as I said earlier in the show, you can stand up on your roof and see 500. You can see it.
Yeah, as long as you're one good week from 500, you're right there.
Yeah,
and as long as Geno Smiths of the world are going to play quarterback in the NFL, these picks should start getting easier.
I think you're going to go with Oakland later in the on the card in the middle of the card.
Yeah.
I think you're going to give the 7
or 21 on that one.
It's Sorry. 7. All right, you ready?
Let's roll, man.
Detroit +3 at Baltimore. Baltimore is hanging around. Baltimore with defense and a kicker and nothing else is hanging around. They are at home for the second time in a row. They won on Monday night at home. Detroit, I think, coming out of a loss at home to Minnesota, if I'm not mistaken.
Thanksgiving loss.
Yeah, they're going, Detroit going the wrong way, but Detroit has 10 days for this game, and Baltimore has 6 days for this game. If you like the homestanding Ravens, Chuck, you give 3.
Yeah, this is a struggle for me because both teams feel like I just don't trust them. These are teams I never enjoy actually betting on.
Yeah.
They're not easy teams to bet on. I guess the Ravens are they the worst? Are they going to be? They want to be the worst playoff team.
They're looking to be the worst playoff team.
Well, given Flacco's history, they would take a 9-7 wild card and hit the road.
Yeah, Flacco's good in those circumstances. Yeah, he is.
No, and watch, they win the wild card, somehow play New England, and that game would be in overtime.
Yeah.
give me Detroit and the rest, because I still think they're the better team.
You're going to take Detroit on the road plus +3. I would not.
Yeah,
I would go the other way on that.
I want to go with the – I know.
Okay, I'm
going with the better team right now.
Okay.
Here's the better team.
There are three or four very good games on this card, and here is one of them, Minnesota at Atlanta. Atlanta is a resuscitated team. Minnesota is a very good team. Minnesota also having 10 days to prepare for Atlanta. Indoor, you know, Minnesota getting 3 with a better record, but the fear here on the part of the lines makers is that Matt Ryan and Julio Jones have found it again. What do you got?
Yeah, and it does seem like Atlanta, and there is a comfort factor at home. I'm gonna kind of agree with you. This is a mistake because you steer me more wrong than right.
I'm sorry.
I'm just saying. It's a feeling, but I'm gonna go with you on this one. I'm with you. Give me the Falcons.
You're gonna go with Atlanta and give the 3.
Yeah, I Minnesota. Well, we'll see. If Minnesota wins this game, I think it proves that their defense, and it would tell me that they're the best team to beat Philadelphia in the NFC.
Okay.
If somehow the Vikings could pull this off, but give me the Falcons.
The next game is Kansas City at the Jets. Kansas City has lost 5 of 6 games. They were 5-0, and Alex Smith was the MVP after 5 games. Now they've lost 5 of 6. They are still a favorite on the road. The Jets aren't a very good team, but they don't lose by a lot. You know, they stay close, and I guess it's McCown is having a far better year than anybody ever expected as quarterback of the Jets. If you like Kansas City to reverse its trend, you give 3.5.
Yeah, it's not a they're in a bad spiral, and now they have to go back on the road. And they're back in they just lost in the stadium 2 weeks ago, didn't they?
Yes.
To the Giants.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. I think bad memories. Give me the Jets. By the way, I own McCown as a fantasy quarterback. I didn't think anybody would own any Jets.
But he's doing well, right?
What's that, football. A 40-team league,
yeah.
Chuck?
Yeah, it's a two-quarterback.
40-team keeper league.
It is a two-quarterback league.
Oh, okay.
Where you have to start two quarterbacks in one of them. But I actually own McCown. That tells you something, I guess, that the Jets aren't so – you know, they're not so crappy. We have to watch a lot of them on Red Zone.
Yeah.
In the 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
They should use that. Worst teams to watch.
They should use that to sell tickets. Not so crappy, Chuck Todd.
Yeah.
Best team in New York.
New York Giants having benched Eli Manning for Geno Smith. The New York Giants go across the country to Oakland. And yes, that is actually across the country from New York to Oakland. And they get 7. I think you're going to go Oakland.
Yeah, I'm going to go Oakland. I don't know if there would have been I'm trying to think of what the number would be where I would have said, yeah, give me Geno Smith on the road. it might have taken 13 or 14. I'm surprised this line's only 7.
So I am too. Here's another line that is surprising to me. And this is another one of the really good games. Carolina at New Orleans. Carolina and New Orleans, I think, have the same record at this point.
Yep.
Carolina is getting 4 at New Orleans. That's a higher line than I thought. If you say that the home field is worth 3, I would have seen this as a 2.5 to 3, not a 4. What do you like?
Well, no, so then what you're saying is, then you're saying you think on a neutral site, you think Carolina's a better team?
I actually do. Mm. I do.
Or basically even, you're saying.
I do.
Yeah, I think Vegas is obviously disagreeing.
Yes, yes.
Look, I've struggled with Carolina all year. They're not they're talking about another team I'm avoiding using real American dollars with.
Yes.
Is them. I'm going to stick with New Orleans at home.
Okay.
Only to help my son feel better. His best friend's a Saints fan. So, you know, I got to come up with some rationale, give you a hot take.
That's
so we'll
really,
that.
You know what? That shows
it's
the
good
side.
Good for the kids.
Do it for the kids.
I mean, come on.
He's in it for the kids.
It's for the kids.
That's
exactly.
Just great. Here is another, and this is potentially a great game and obviously a late game, unless it's a Sunday night game. I assumed it was a 4 o'clock game, but I'm not sure. Philadelphia at Seattle. Philadelphia has been the best team by record, and Philadelphia has been crushing people. But Philadelphia given 5.5 is a large number against a team that's pretty good.
Depleted secondary.
Seattle.
Yeah, I was just going to say, who's covering? Yeah, who's going to
cover? Cam Chancellor out.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, no Cam Chancellor.
Okay,
no,
and no Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I thought it was a little bit high. I take it you like Philadelphia in this one.
Well, I'm with you. I think that's a lot of points.
Yep.
I think there's part of me that says, you know, there's something about Seattle. Just when you're ready to write them off, and a big team comes in to prove that they can knock you off, they rise up. This is one of those games that wouldn't surprise me if somehow Seattle makes Philadelphia play ugly football.
Right.
I'm concerned about the no secondary, but I'm going to take Seattle at home to at least cover that. Cover those points.
I think I would have done that too. And I know you don't want to agree with me, but I think I would have done
that.
They're
not ready to go away yet, Seattle.
Yeah.
Huge mistake to agree with you.
And the last game, which Nigel had completely wrong when he sent me the email, he had it as a home game for Washington.
Well,
it's not a home game.
I mean, wherever they go.
The way the Skins fans travel, it effectively is.
It's better for Washington.
He had Dallas favored on the road at Washington. He could not have been more wrong.
Nailed
so that's why the sign goes back to zero.
Yeah, yes, Not the curse.
He also
cursing outburst we heard before the segment.
Went insane, before the segment. Yeah. Really lost it.
Washington, the people here at Chatter got a rare glimpse into the soul.
Extreme of
Nigel. And you know what's great? Was they just like laughed.
Yeah.
It's just like he was there to entertain them.
I was worried something
it.
Was going to burst.
Yeah. Washington at Dallas. Washington plus
Chuck again?
1.5. What do you got, Chuck?
This is going to be just a bad football game, I fear, and it's too bad, right? It's supposed to be a great football game. Give me the Redskins to somehow win, because this is the game they win, right? They're not they don't seem to ever step up when they need to step up, but just when you're ready to write them off, they figure out a way to win. Give me the Skins here.
The loser of this game is out.
Yes.
The loser of this game is out.
A lot of points.
But here's if you've looked at Dallas without Ezekiel Elliott is terrible.
They're averaging 7 points.
You know what has not been discussed enough, in my opinion, about this Dallas team? Without Ezekiel Elliott, they have been hurt terribly. Dak Prescott has fallen short of being able to carry them.
He's been terrible.
But you know who could have won with this Dallas team at quarterback?
Tony Romo. Yeah.
And if he
was just going to say, can I introduce another idea here?
Yeah.
Jason Garrett, maybe. I think you learn a lot about a coach when the best player goes down. And I think we're learning a lot about Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, and I think we're learning a lot more about Jason Garrett. Meaning, I just think they're showing that maybe they're not up to it.
So you think Jason Garrett coaches that team? Because Tony always thought it was Jarrah.
Jason Garrett, what's interesting about him is that if you take last year out of his record, they're a 500 team over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
They're not any good. They're not.
Of the year last year.
And Washington is looking at the last 6 games of its schedule against not a single team above 500.
Right.
Not a single one. They should win them. They not could. Now they should. Should win.
Tony, now you know why Jerry Jones is so angry at Roger Goodell.
Absolutely.
Dallas is about to become a dumpster fire.
Absolutely.
They don't really have a quarterback for the future. Who knows about Zeke Elliott? And now I think they've been exposed to having a coach that can't pivot.
No, it's hard to disagree with any of that.
When you say the Skins should win them all, they will not be favored at the Chargers.
No, because the Chargers are getting better.
That's the toughest one.
Yeah. The Chargers are getting better, which is so
odd,
because they
week,
started
and they're
at
not favored this week.
Chuck, do you have any guests you want to tell us about on Meet the Press?
I do. I'll have the first interview with Donald Trump's former campaign manager with his new book. Corey Lewandowski and David Foss are going to be on. Their book is called Let Trump Be Trump.
And that includes retweeting insane things.
Let Trump be Trump.
He's certainly taking that advice.
Yes.
If you didn't want to let Trump be Trump, how would you stop him? Yes. That to me would be an interesting.
Thank you, Chuck.
That's the better book.
Yeah. Good luck.
Someday John Kelly won't write that one. Goodbye.
No. Good luck.
Chuck's picks are always fun, but the best part of that, forget the fact that Chuck comes on to even do that, is how tortured he is in making them. Yeah. You know?
He takes it very seriously.
That's good.
He cares about the show and the picks.
If we just gave you the host of Meet the Press, that would be enough. But we give you a monkey.
See the monkey, he's scritch, scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tap, tap, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo, zoo, zoo. Reginald's got the bike spy too. Sometimes he throws his poo, poo, poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blues.
All righty. What have we got?
Well, I went down to the... Oh, there he is. He was very excited when I went to see him. I went to see him at the National Zoo last night, and he was in the middle of a very big and what appeared to be an important meeting with NBC execs. I would not be surprised if he was named as the new host.
I had heard that, actually.
Nigel actually had mentioned, if you, it was, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks ago, if you mentioned that he mentioned on air that Reginald has a button in the cage where he can lock the cage from the inside.
So yes.
So he could, maybe that office would be a good fit.
Yes, I've had some uncomfortable moments in that cage with Reginald, but not last night. He took a break from the meeting to go with some of these games. The first game of the game was Minnesota getting 3 at Atlanta, and he showed me a photograph.
Wait, we know where he's going.
On the Viking sideline in the 1998 NFC Championship game.
Robert
consoling
Smith?
Consoling Gary Anderson after he missed that field goal. I would remind you.
They were 15-1.
Yes. Yeah. The only field goal that Gary Anderson missed that whole year.
Was that Dante Culpepper, Randy Moss? Who was, yeah. What was that team?
Was it Culpepper?
I think Chris Carter was on that
Chris
team.
Chris Carter was on that. That was Randy Moss' rookie team. Year. That
Shout
was,
that out.
Was yes. Now, the next game we gave him was, let's see, which game was it? Oh, it was Carolina getting 4 at New Orleans. And he showed me an old video of him. This has got to be from like 1982, running North Carolina Tar Heels practice, giving Jordan some pointers on his jump shot and helping James Worthy with his transition. Game, so he's a multi-talented monkey. So he obviously has ties to Carolina, so he'll take the 4 points at New Orleans.
People used to think that MTM was Mary Tyler Moore, but it's multi-talented monkey.
That's exactly
By the
it
way,
is.
That was MTM Randall Cunningham, just to correct.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And of course, the last game he gave him was Washington at Dallas. Let's get that correct. Getting 1.5. And Reginald showed me him at a beach volleyball tournament playing with Troy Aikman against Gary Hogaboom and Danny White.
So he's, like, so he's going against the Redskins.
Yeah, he's
going
to take the Cowboys.
I don't like that.
Does he wear a short of some sort when he's playing beach volleyball?
He wears the
like a one singlet, piece, like a unitard.
Yeah, singlet, yeah.
Like he's a wrestler.
Yeah, right. Makes sense. I assume that's most of what he wears.
That's what he wears all the time.
All right, we're good. We're good with all of that. We will take a break. When we come back, we will have the email and the jingles. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Casper ad. You spend one-third of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. At Casper, mattresses are perfectly designed for humans, not monkeys. Engineered to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Casper brand mattresses combine multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep service with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. With over 20,000 reviews and an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google, Casper is becoming the internet's favorite mattress. That's something. Casper mattresses offer affordable prices because Casper cuts out the middleman, sells directly to the consumer. Plus, there's no hassle returns if you're not completely satisfied. You can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep-on-it trial. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper and get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com, C-A-S-P-E-R.com, and using Tony, it's /Tony, using Tony at checkout. Remember to do that. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show. They're finally building that purple line train. Flagrant abuse of eminent domain. Another case of suburban blight. Seems no one cares about the rich man's plight. Purple line train finally going up. Laying track at the country club. Although it hurts that it's been decided, hurts worse knowing that no one's gonna ride.
No one, no one.
Purple line train, no one's asking for. It just bulldozed the house next door. Purple line train keeps me up at night. Like me, wonder where it's gonna change my life.
Jerry Negrelli's familiar voice.
That's
it's a
really
great
good.
Tune.
He's Jordan.
It's a great tune. Before we get into the mailbag, let me thank Meet the Press Toast, Chuck Todd, for coming on the show and just laying himself out there with these bets. I'd also like to thank the sponsors today, Omaha Steaks, SeatGeek, and Casper Mattresses. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. This is from Kayla. My husband's birthday is this Thursday, November 30th. As my gift to him, we'll be bringing the day in with you at Chatter. He's a huge fan, and by proxy, so am I. Your podcast has kept him company on many a holiday road trip. As I snooze, I'm forever grateful. If at all possible, would you be able to wish him a happy birthday? His name is Ben. He also goes by Jack, which I named him early in our dating years because I hit the jackpot in finding him. Are they here? There we go.
There's Ben Jack.
Happy birthday, Ben. To Ben Jack.
Or Jack Ben.
Ben Jack.
From Ben Lesser himself from Denver, Colorado, formerly of Tenleytown around here. Harry's co-founder, Jeff, is Jeff Rader. Jeff started with three other ordinary guys a small company called Warby Parker. Oh. Warby Parker in its last round of funding was valued at $1.2 billion. Hmm. Jeff, an ordinary guy, maybe only in the Greg Garcia circle.
Michael and I sporting Warby Parkers.
Those are
frames? Hint, Warby Parker, hint.
Yeah, so maybe they could sponsor really us. It. From Justin Tate in Sarasota, Florida. I'm a day late on this, but as I was listening to Tori discuss her live nativity plans on the podcast, I was assembling my toddler's Fisher-Price Little People's Nativity set, which cost $55. While Tori was discussing having actual real-life camels at her house, I realized my daughter's set only had one bleeping plastic camel. Three wise men, but only one camel. Did they all hop on one camel? Did two of them walk? Never has this little felt so little as he listened to the 1% debate the merits of exotic animal renting. P.S. I'm guessing Bootsy won't be in the market for hand-me-down plastic nativity in a few years, but I thought I would check with Michael.
Speaking of exotic animal rental, we are looking into, my friend Dan Fisher and I are looking into the possibility of renting a panther for next year's Potomac homecoming. And we keep it in a cage for most of the game.
Right.
Let it loose in the fourth quarter. Yes,
you can rent an exotic panther from what state?
Florida.
100% accurate.
Florida Panthers.
From Rick Fawcett, as I listened to the tale of Bootsy on the golf course, I couldn't help but wonder, wasn't he critical of other babies and how much time they spent on the golf course? I have to question if he was really having meetings or working, given that he slept through the back nine. Hashtag fake baby news. Hashtag sad. From Bill in Kensington. I was surprised to hear you hesitate to join Tori in her live-action crash spectacular. You said that it was not really your side of the street, but I believe you should rethink this. After all, the birth of Jesus is just the story of a Jewish boy being born. The boy is an only child who would go on to spend his life talking constantly, eventually developing a loyal group of disciples who would hang on his every word. These disciples would follow him wherever he would go, soaking up all his messages. Eventually, he would establish a church where people could show up in person, usually in the morning for Mass on an almost daily basis, to listen to this man talk. These disciples themselves would evangelize everyone they know by constantly sharing stories they had heard from this man. These disciples would center their lives around this man, eventually wearing down the people to whom they are related by marriage to start listening also. These people would force their children to listen to this man, in many cases not giving the children the chance to grow up and decide to listen on their own. If we exchange disciple with Little, Chatter with the church, and Pontius Pilate with Raju Narasetti, I think you might find the story to be a little closer to your side of the street than you thought. P.S. I'm 6'3 and 210, but if it means an invite to Tori's party, I would be willing to put on my baby New Year outfit and play the part of baby Jesus.
Brett from Wardaka has asked to come. He wants to see the live camels and said he's willing to dress as the Virgin Mary. And at 6'5", 260,
fantastic.
I'm not sure. That. He's got the pregnant part down.
From Sebastian in Atlanta, if I need to reheat my leftover Chinese food for a minute and a half, should I press 1-3-0 or is it better to press 9-0? Can we have some... Mm-hmm.
I would do reheat.
I would go 1-3-0.
Yeah, 1-3-0 is what I would do.
Third way.
From Noah Parker, my fantasy football team has won 7 games straight since I changed my name to the Leaf Blowers. I will come to Chatter with my winnings when I crush it in the playoffs. From Neil in Rockville, I hope Tori makes it clear to the people playing the part of the wise men in her live nativity that myrrh is a bomb, B-A-L-M, not a bomb, B-O-M-B. Ooh. Lewis Wheaton with a real PhD from Georgia Tech. Last night I was going through my mail. I found my absolute favorite thing this holiday season, the arrival of my J. Peterman Company owner's manual, also known by Sears and others as simply a catalog. As I thumbed through, I ran across my favorite item and description. Thought of you when I read about the sumptuous slippers on page 4. These slippers are hand-sewn in Lake George, Minnesota, from full-grain sheepskin and cowhide. The contrasting textures and tones creating an intriguing subtext. I wonder how slippers with contrasting textures create subtext, or maybe I've been using the word subtext wrong, but what annoys me most is the item number. Number 5687. What's so wrong with 5678? I'll see if I can get a box for you, but it'll be an expensive box. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, do wear white. Thanks so much for coming.
But we don't have the chutzpah to do it.
Just get away, try to forget about you. You said you didn't love me, and I just have to see that you wanted to find someone new. So I sold my car, gonna see how far I gotta go to get away from my heart. I figured out that traveling south might be the right place to start. Here the sea is rolling, the breeze is blowing, the locals, they don't have a care. And the weather is beautiful here, but I wish I was there. I the tube that the winner for you is the worst anyone can recall. With the ice and the cold and the wind and the snow, they fake that it might never thaw. But there's no weatherman here, it's the same all year. It's sunny, it's warm, and it's nice. While all of that's true, I still need you to call this place paradise. 'Cause the sea is rolling, the breeze is blowing, locals they don't have a care, and the weather is beautiful here, but I wish I was there. I'll have a piña colada if it's not a bada. These waves, they come and they go. Sitting here drinking, I can't help but thinking I'd rather be shoveling your snow. 'Cause the sea's rolling, the breeze is blowing, the locals, they don't have a care, and the weather is beautiful here, but I wish I was there. Yeah, the weather is beautiful here, I sure wish I was there.